Kwaba Ekabo Jambo and hello Bankless Africa. It's the end of another week, which means it's time for Sats and Gwei, where we bring you weekly updates and recaps on some of the most significant crypto and Web3 headlines about the African continent and sometimes from across the globe. Today I'm Neki and I will be hosting this episode of Sats and Gwei. How the market's doing as of today? Bitcoin currently sits at a value of $27,047.30, slightly down from its value last week at $27,215.77, but still maintaining the $27,000 mark. Ethereum still maintains the $1,800 mark, currently sitting at $1,893.93, up from its value last week at $1,849.61. Optimism token currently sits at $1.50, slightly down from its value last week at $1.61. The Matic token currently sits at $0.8999, slightly down from its value last week at $0.927. The Bank token currently sits at a value of $0.04486, slightly up from its value last week at $0.004216. So all in the same, the values of all of these tokens, for most, seem relatively stable, not too much of a pump, not too much of a dump. It just seemed to be sitting, sitting pretty. But again, it is very important to realize that these price markers do not, to the full extent, determine the real-life impact of some of these projects. I mean, these projects have real-life use cases, they're transforming lives. So what I'm trying to say is beyond what the financial market says these are worth, it is definitely very necessary if you want to keep your faith in the mission of Web3 and cryptocurrency and blockchain technology alive, to look beyond these price markers and rather focus on the use cases of these tokens, what they are doing in the real world, how they're helping change lives, and how you can also be a builder and innovator in any of these ecosystems. And moving on to the national currencies, the Ghanaian cedi currently sits at a value of 11.19 cedi to the dollar, slightly up from its value last week, well, very insignificantly from its value last week at 11.18 cedis. The Nigerian Naira currently sits at 462 Naira, also experiencing a very, very minimal change from its value last week at 461 Naira and 50 Kobo. The Lesotho Luthi and South African Rand currently sit at a value of 19.51 Rand to the dollar, slightly down from its value last week at 19.66. The Kenyan shilling currently sits at 137.52 shilling to the dollar, slightly down from its value last week at 138.35 shilling to the dollar. And the Central African CFA franc currently sits at a value of 611.53 franc to the dollar, slightly up from its value last week at 610.41 franc to the dollar. And that brings us to a wrap up of our updates about how the currencies are doing this week. I mean, for most of the national currencies, we get to see that there hasn't been, well, a lot of change in their values. They all seem to be relatively stable. And for the cryptocurrencies, they also seem to be, well, pretty stable. I mean, we're hoping that there will be a shift in the market where there is, you know, an appreciable rise, especially in the crypto part of it, so that, well, degen people and our players in the crypto industry can, you know, smile. I'm sure a lot of people did smile when Bitcoin pumped from 18K to about 30. And even though it's now at 27, it's way better, doing way better than it was a couple months ago or weeks ago. Before we pick off our headlines for the new week, we will do a recap of some interesting headlines from last week. One I found particularly interesting was the headline of a report which stated that Polygon and Ethereum are the most dominant chains in Africa, currently holding a market share of 80%. I mean, when I read this, I wasn't too surprised. I mean, beyond Africa, Polygon and Ethereum also dominate markets like Latin America and Asia. We have a lot of people building on these networks. We have a lot of people building on these chains. And, I mean, given the flexibility that the Ethereum network and the Polygon network allow you to build dApps. It's definitely expected that a lot more people would eventually onboard into those ecosystems. And it's definitely great to see that Africans are still bullish on the promise of cryptocurrency. I mean, we've had many projects shield off in the past. People are trying to use cryptocurrency to solve electricity problems, water problems, problems with, you know, charity funding, cross-border payments, and all of that. And it is definitely great to see that people are not backing down. And for whatever reason, Ethereum and Polygon definitely have the lion's share of the market. And particularly interesting, again, from last week, was the headline about Bitcoin as a means to power sustainable energy in rural areas in Africa. And this initiative was made possible through a coalition between Ethiopia's QRB Labs, Kenya's Sukama Ventures, and Nigeria's Trojan Mining, with the objective to provide a standardized method for environmentally friendly cryptocurrency mining. And by so doing, you know, provide a means of reliable electricity access in general to communities that need it, while also attempting to solve the Bitcoin mining challenge. So I think this is a pretty great initiative by finding a way to mine Bitcoin more effectively. They would also, by extension, be providing electricity to rural communities where these Bitcoin mining grids will be located. And I feel like that's definitely a problem that needs to be solved. Even as of now, I'm still convinced that there's a ton of communities within Africa, scattered across Africa, that lack the basic amenities of electricity or water, primarily electricity, which I feel should not be in this modern day and time. So it's definitely good to see that we have people who are trying to do something to solve that problem. Well, moving on to the headlines for this week. Yellow Card and Tether join forces to drive stablecoin education and adoption among the African youth. Now, for many of you who do not know, we've talked about Yellow Card several times on our podcast. Yellow Card is a pan-African cryptocurrency exchanger and financial payment services provider. And Tether, as many people in the Web3 space would know, is, well, unarguably the largest stablecoin services provider in the crypto industry. Now, Yellow Card and Tether have announced a 2-month collaboration to raising awareness, providing education, and driving adoption of the USDT, Kenya's stablecoin, among students and professionals in Nigeria, Kenya, and Ghana. These countries are key markets in driving crypto adoption across Africa. Now, over 10,000 students across 6 universities in these countries were passed through a program tagged by the partnership as the Financial Literacy Tour. According to Peter Murillo, the Director of Marketing at Yellow Card, in a statement he says, and I quote, "Our collaboration with Tether has provided us with a remarkable opportunity to witness the profound impact that financial education has on the youth. This collaboration aligns seamlessly with our overarching mission to promote financial freedom for all, which encompasses our other initiatives like the Financial Literacy Tour and the Yellow Card Academy. As crypto adoption grows in Africa, so does the need for financial education." End quote. I definitely agree with that statement. Stable coins such as USDT address unique challenges in Africa by offering practical solutions to problems of payments and remittances. This partnership offers a front for many African youths to be educated on stable coins and the importance of a digital economy. Now, definitely 10,000 youth is a lot. I mean, scattered across 3 countries, we can only begin to imagine the ripple impact that would have. You know, 10,000 people talk to, if each person talks to one more person, then we have 20,000. And one of those more 20,000 talk to one more person, we have 40,000. So it's definitely incredible. If we try to consider the long run ripple effect of how much education can have on the global crypto community, especially in Africa, where we're trying to reach out to the youth first and hoping that that gospel will spread. We need a lot more people to know that there is a solution for them, especially when it comes to their finances. There's a solution for them to sending and receiving money. There's a solution for them to paying for stuff, to facilitating e-commerce that doesn't necessarily require them going through all the hurdles of traditional finance. And this is a shout out to Yellow Card and Dada for the great work they're doing. I mean, we've had a ton of companies. There's always a company, an organization every week, you know, trying to do something as regards education, because to be honest, the key to driving adoption anywhere, and definitely, especially in the crypto space, is education. The more people know about it, the more people would, or maybe would not, but hopefully would, be willing to dip their feet into crypto. Now, moving on to the next headline. Leading worldwide digital cash wallet, SentBe, and Senti, pioneer of Swiss fintech, have teamed up to reimagine remittance services from Switzerland to Africa. This alliance is positioned to improve the efficiency, affordability, and inclusivity of cross-border money transfers by utilizing cutting-edge blockchain technology. The World Bank estimates that in 2020, remittances from Switzerland to other nations exceeded $8.2 billion, with a sizable chunk of that going to African nations. In the words of the CEO of Senti, Bernard Muller, and I quote, "Our collaboration with SentBe is rooted in a shared commitment to making financial services more accessible and affordable for underbanked communities. Together, we aim to challenge and transform the remittance landscape." Lauren Gamaroff, the CEO of SentBe, reiterated his commitment to the partnership within the two companies by stating, and I quote, "Our partnership with Senti, a frontrunner in digital payments, aligns seamlessly with our mission to make digital cash available to everyone. We are confident this partnership will bring significant benefits to our users and the wider African community. Remittance services could significantly increase as a result of this union, giving families and communities in Africa the much needed financial assistance." Well, for one, I want to say that $8.2 billion in remittances a year is a lot. And I can only imagine, I mean, I don't have a statistic for how much or what percentage of that exactly went to African nations, but I'm pretty sure it's a sizable chunk. So yes, and I mean, using traditional means, you know, picking up foreign remittances can be a hassle. You having to go to the bank, provide certain proof to receive the money, and then head over to a local exchanger to change that money. At least that's how it works in Nigeria. But I'm pretty sure that the solution that Senti and SentBe are looking to provide would definitely be something that would allow that fund to get to your digital wallet easy, from where you can maybe sell it off via P2P exchange or swap it to your local currency. And I feel like this is a solution that definitely saves a lot of people a lot of stress of having to figure out how to get money that is sent to them. So I think it's a great innovation, and it's definitely one of the things we love to see in the tech space and the blockchain space, seeing giants or at least leaders in this space or companies in this space come together, collaborate to find a common solution to a common problem. And really, that's what the world should be about. People coming together to solve problems for the growth and continuity of the human race. When I say it like that, it sounds a bit funny, but okay. I'm moving on to the next headline. Kenya's Bitcoin Dada graduates latest cohort of women Bitcoiners on the Africa Bitcoin Day. So for many people who did not know, this 27th of May, 2023 happened to be the Africa Bitcoin Day. I mean, for most people, the 27th of May is mostly Children's Day, which is fun. But those in the Bitcoin community or the crypto community, we would know that the 27th of May was also the Africa Bitcoin Day. Now, the Bitcoin Dada community was founded with a mission to educate African women and onboard them into the Bitcoin ecosystem. The African Bitcoin Day, which was celebrated on the 27th of May, 2023, also marked the first anniversary of the Dada community, as well as the graduation date of its latest cohort. So Dada is spelled D-A-D-A. Now, Dada aims to unlock the benefits Bitcoin education can provide to women, including financial empowerment and increased access to financial services. By learning about technology behind it and how to use it, African women can gain greater control over their finances and be more independent. Well, as much as we hate to say it, most of the industries we have globally are dominated by men. And it's always very exciting to see that, or to find out, or to witness when women, you know, break into these ranks and begin to take up more positions significantly in any of these spaces. So I personally, I'm always pretty excited to learn about cohorts for women, or, you know, sponsorships or training session that aim to onboard more women into the Bitcoin ecosystem or the Ethereum ecosystem or the Web3 ecosystem in general. I feel like it's great. Women definitely have a lot to offer. And I know that as humans, we are all, you know, collectively smart. We have the tendency to do great stuff when we put our minds to it. But then I'm also definitely of the opinion that it shouldn't be one-sided. It shouldn't be dominated by one person or set of people. And in this case, I'm speaking about genders. So I'm definitely always excited to learn about this kind of stuff, this kind of cohorts that are, you know, training people, not just women, but youth, people in schools, and all of that. It just makes the Web3 ecosystem, at least in Africa, more robust, more diverse, and definitely sends a message that the space is welcoming to anybody and anybody who has any interest in learning about what Web3 is and what blockchain technology is. I'm moving on to the next headline. 7,000 Kenyan farmers recover millions in new crypto insurance ventures. Now, a total of 7,000 farmers in Kenya received compensation for their losses through the nation's first ever agricultural crypto insurance initiative on Tuesday, the 30th of May. According to a thorough assessment by the Lemonade Crypto Climate Coalition, the farmers were protected against adverse weather conditions at the time when the nation had little rainfall. In another statement by the Lemonade Crypto Climate Coalition, and I quote, "By parametrically measuring the amount of rain or lack thereof in an insured field of crops, smart contracts will trigger flood or drought claims automatically, paying farmers without them ever needing to file a claim. Now, following the pilot program success, the enterprise is attempting to cover additional farmers for the current planting season." This is definitely the first time I would be hearing of insurance on the blockchain. Definitely sure it exists somewhere else. But yeah, I haven't heard about it personally, let alone it in agriculture. But I think this is fantastic. I do know that the process of laying claims, especially when it comes to insurance, can be very rigorous. I mean, for farmers, they actually have to do some digging. Or was your soil fertile at the time that you're claiming you made losses because of certain conditions? Were the conditions actually that harsh? Was there something you could have done about it? So some of the time to validate insurance claims actually takes a while. Within that while, God knows the hassle the farmers would have to go through, you know, maybe trying to source new funding to pick up the planting season while still waiting to be insured or indemnified for the previous planting season. So I feel like this provides a solution. If we already have smart contracts that can detect these changes in a weather or climate and automatically trigger an insurance claim on behalf of these farmers, I feel like in the long run, it definitely helps to protect the common man, right? And we do not definitely need, or we will not be needing to rely on, you know, manual systems of verifying or indemnity. If smart contracts run it, properly written smart contracts, then this is definitely a sign for a greener future, get it, agriculture and green. So yes, I am definitely rooting for this kind of technology. And this is the, exactly the kind of innovation we aim to see, not just in fintech or in education. Let the use cases of blockchain technology expand to even more needed sectors like agriculture. Food is very important to everybody and anybody on the planet. And it's definitely great to see that the people who make our feeding possible, farmers, bless your souls, are protected. I'm moving on to the next headline. The Kenya Central Bank says digital currency is not, and I quote, a compelling priority. Now, with many African countries seeking to be involved in the realm of digital assets, CBDCs, that is a central bank digital currencies, have gained increasing popularity in recent times. The Central Bank of Kenya is, however, not convinced that CBDCs are a pressing concern to the country. This, in short, means that the country will not be rolling out a digital shilling anytime soon. Quite interesting. Now, on the 2nd of June 2023, the Central Bank of Kenya published a press release on its Twitter page with the title, and I quote, "Issuance of discussion paper on central bank digital currency, comments from the public," end quote, as a response to the multiple opinions it had received from members of its general public, commercial banks, tech firms, and other participants across 9 countries regarding the issuance of a CBDC in Kenya. All of these comments have been targeted at highlighting the possible use cases of CBDCs to the Kenyan economy and, very importantly, as a tool to promote digitization. Although Kenya remains one of the countries with the highest rates of blockchain technology and crypto adoption, the Apex Bank does not see CBDCs as key to solving the country's payments problem. Rather, it has said in a statement that, and I quote, "Implementation of a CBDC in Kenya may not be a compelling priority in the short to medium term. Significantly, Kenya's pain points in payment could potentially continue to be addressed by other innovative solutions around the existing ecosystem," end quote. Well, in a way, I would agree with them. I would agree with the Central Bank of Kenya. I feel like CBDCs may not be, are not essentially the only solution to solving problems with payments or settlements or all of that. I mean, it's great that they are encouraging people to keep coming up with innovative solutions, or at least keep working with the existing solutions they have to solve these problems with, you know, commerce and cross-border payments and the likes. But definitely, it's always good to test new waters and expand the horizon, right? So I feel like the Kenyan Central Bank is not entirely dismissing the potential usefulness of CBDCs, but what they're just saying is, hey, we already do have a range of solutions that currently work. There is no need to hurry to launch a new one. So I feel like maybe in the long run, they might launch a CBDC, or who knows, they might even have a change of heart and launch one in the medium to short term. But yes, I mean, we can't exactly help them make up their minds, but we'll see how it plays out in the short term or midterm or the long term. Now, moving on to the next headline. Nigerian crypto company suspends withdrawals after BTC and Naira compromise. Now, for many of you who have not heard, Patricia was a victim of a breach which resulted in the loss of Naira and Bitcoin assets. Now, as we all know, incidents of a security breach in tech often results in the loss of private information, or in very worst cases like this, financial assets. Now, these losses, to many extents, can prove damaging to the individuals or organizations involved. Patricia, for many who do not know, is a leading Nigerian gift card and crypto trading platform. In its recent announcement about the security breach, Patricia has reassured its customers that no assets were lost besides, well, the Naira and BTC assets, which were compromised. Now, as a response to this, Patricia has temporarily suspended withdrawals while it works to get to the root of the breach and solve the problems. Patricia did not specify how much assets were lost on the hack. However, law enforcement have been able to identify one member of the multinational syndicate group that was responsible for the hack. The company has reiterated its commitment to keep collaborating with law enforcement and other partners in order to get to the bottom of the breach. Well, again, these things happen all too often these days. We always hear about breaches. And every time this happens, especially in the financial sector, a lot of money is always lost. People always lose stuff. And it's very disheartening, especially when it has to do with customer deposits. And, you know, it's also very inconveniencing that right now, even people who are not affected may not be able to have access to their monies simply because the entire withdrawal process has been suspended for now. Now, so far, Patricia has not made a statement as to how long they will be suspending withdrawals for, but we can expect it to. I'm not sure. I'd rather not make any comment on that, but you know, all I'm saying is that it can be quite inconveniencing when you, as a customer, do not have access to your funds, especially when you might need it. It's pretty disheartening, but I empathize with them, and I'm really hoping that they are able to get to the bottom of this. Again, this emphasizes the need for security, the need to be fraud aware, the need for information security, the need for us all at the individual and organizational levels to always learn about how to keep ourselves safe, learn how to keep our assets safe, and learn how to protect ourselves against the wiles of cyber attackers, against phishing scams, against email scams, you know, against socially engineered stuff and the likes. So I really hope they get to the bottom of it and that they are able to recover the lost funds. Moving on to our last but not least headline for the week. Whitebit expands operations to Nigeria, enabling local market access to global crypto trade. Whitebit is a European cryptocurrency exchange on a mission to provide security, liquidity, quick execution, and easy-to-use trading tools. Now, as a part of its efforts to deepen its footprint in the global crypto space, the company has announced that it will be opening a new office in Nigeria with more than 4 million users worldwide, more than 350 trading pairs, and a maximum daily trading volume of $2.5 billion. Whitebit is one of the most popular cryptocurrency exchanges in the European market. Now, the company is convinced that its move to open the new office in Nigeria is a sound one, given how strategically placed Nigeria is in the global crypto space in terms of adoption and usage. Laying further emphasis on this promise, the CEO of Whitebit, Volodymyr Nosov, stated, and I quote, "Our company's global goal and mission is to achieve mass adoption of blockchain technology and increase the cryptocurrency community in the world. The future of humanity is digital technology, including blockchain. This is what we believe in and adhere to. Opening a representative office in Nigeria is a logical step in the development of not only Whitebit, but the cryptocurrency community as a whole. Nigeria is a country that understands the prospects that cryptocurrency holds. There is a big public demand for blockchain technology. Nigeria today has all the chances to become the center of finance and blockchain technology. That is why it is quite logical that Whitebit is launching in Nigeria." Well, everything he said here is definitely true. I mean, I know that Nigeria is, or has for many years, stayed at the forefront along with countries like Kenya and Ghana as countries who are pushing, leading the adoption for cryptocurrency in Africa and definitely globally in terms of use, in terms of volumes of transactions, in terms of trade. So yes, I am definitely optimistic in the promise that Whitebit hopes is true. I think it's a great move for them also that they are trying to set up shop in Nigeria. And I definitely think that it would be good for Nigerians in the long run. And I feel like it will also be good for the cryptocurrency community in the long run also. If we have many more of these multinationals spread to many more regions and, you know, try to get it, more people to know about what cryptocurrency is. I mean, it's good for them because now more people get to use their services, but then it's also good for the global community because we get to have more people onboarded into the blockchain space. Now, this brings us to the wrap-up of today's segment of Sats and Gwe. And remember that whatever news we bring to you here are the opinions of the people who make this show possible. Please do your own research, do your own findings before you take any action on whatever we provide to you here. You're welcome to stream any of our previous episodes to catch up on what Sats and Gwe has been doing over the past couple months. And I'm pretty sure you'll find us quite interesting. Until next week, keep innovating.